On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Why, yes, you are. And hi, how are you? Happy Monday. Isn't it great? Nothing better than a summer Monday. Scraping around to the news barrel, usually. But not today. We got lots and lots and lots. What's my... I just got to sign into something here. I'm trying to do that and talk to you at the same time. So, normally on a summer Monday... there is nothing, but of course, we've got the Supreme Court still coming up with decisions, and they still have, well, they still got the Remain in Mexico, so that maybe be tomorrow. But in any case, today, well, over the weekend, we had lots of protests around the country about the abortion ruling, and I don't know if... I'm not sure people have changed their mind. I think people are either for it or against it. And the court decision is just going to create more. There will be more court. Now the fights are going to be in the states. So it's going to, this abortion decision was not a one-time deal on Friday. And then we all go about our business. This is going to be going on for quite some time. I never watched Full House, but there was one of the actresses, she was a young gal in the show, and she was, she lives in Los Angeles, and she was, she went to a protest, and a police officer pushed her. And so they show the show, the video, but what's interesting, it doesn't start all with these videos that all of a sudden have some controversy to them. You really should back up the video and see what happened before. So she, is pushed by a police officer, and there was a little bit of a downslope, and then there was a curb, and she tripped and she fell on the street. It was an on-ramp or an off-ramp in Los Angeles. And they're talking about, oh, my gosh, just this woman who was an actress on Full House. She was pushed by the LAPD. And I'm thinking, so here is about 20 Los Angeles police officers, and they're blocking the crowd from getting onto the freeway. The crowd is wanting to go down to the freeway and stop traffic. And so they're blocking the crowd from getting on. There's probably about 300 maybe people and 20 police officers. And so they, oh my gosh, this actress was pushed by the LAPD. But how did she get in the middle of the line? She didn't land there. She was obviously was trying to get through the police line, and they pushed her back, and she lost her footing and down she went. And, I mean, I've fallen down harder than that when I rode my bicycle, for heaven's sakes. But anyway, and so did Joe Biden fell harder than this gal. There you go. We'll mix that in there too. So anyway, the protests were going on, and I understand the reasoning. I just thought it was a little weird that the protests, I'm sure, were in southern states, but in California, nothing's going to change. They were out there because of the concept of, I get that, but in any case... So we've got that. But we got the new Supreme Court decision that came out this morning at 10 o'clock. And that is the Supreme Court sided with the praying coach, the coach of the Bremerton High School. He was the assistant football coach at Bremerton High School, just across Puget Sound from Seattle. And his name is Joe Kennedy. And the court ruled 6-3 along the conservative liberal justices that free speech and free exercise clauses of the First Amendment protect an individual engaging in religious expression. Neil Gorsuch delivered the opinion for the majority. The case is known as Kennedy v. Bremerton School District. And Gorsuch wrote, "The Constitution and the best of our traditions counsel mutual respect and tolerance, not censorship and suppression for religious and non-religious views alike." So what I have to do here is I you have to go back a little bit because it's not part of the normal reporting. So this coach had been doing this for a while, and he got, I guess he kind of ramped it up a little. He used to just get down on one knee after the game, kind of behind where everybody was, and nobody saw him. But then he moved it out onto the football field to the 50-yard line. Game was over, all that sort of stuff. So he did ramp it up a little bit, and then the kids, he started getting kids to do a prayer circle with him and all that. But I'm just thinking to myself, I've been to many high school football games, and they're fun. I always thought they were fun. They got the band there. They got the cheerleaders. It's great. It's a lot of great. It's a great environment. So who was the grouch in the crowd that went, oh, I'm offended. Oh, I've got to turn. I got to call somebody. The coach is out there praying. Oh my gosh, I'm so offended. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he even could be heard from the sidelines. So I look at Neil Gorsuch's comments. They talk, okay, the Constitution, that's great. But what about mutual respect and tolerance, not censorship and suppression for religious and non-religious views? We are nowhere close to that, Neil Gorsuch. You say the wrong thing in this world, oh my goodness. We don't tolerate each other at all. This tolerance stuff, I mean, they might as well erase that word from the dictionary. It doesn't exist. We don't tolerate anybody. If you don't think like I do, I'm not going to tolerate you. So I thought it was interesting that was part of what Gorsuch wrote in the opinion. So this case falls at the intersection of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, that the government shall not establish a religion, and at the intersection of free speech and free exercise. And the lawyers for Mr. Kennedy argue the school district's punishment for his religious expression violated his constitutional rights. The school district had warned him when it learned, somebody called him up and said, oh, you can't believe what I just saw on the football field. I'm so offended. They learned of the post-game prayers. I'm sure that other teachers go to the games. So they warned him that those kinds of activities likely violated the Establishment Clause, which prohibits the government from endorsing a religion. So I have to tell you, I am all for more godliness in our world. I am all for more religious practices, more prayers, remembering our Creator, talking to God, whoever your God is. A lot of people have different gods. Jerry from Milwaukee doesn't. I mean, he has that right too. But I think we've talked with Jerry before about this, and he's even said, I don't care what you do. He has his beliefs, and if you want to believe in God, fine. He doesn't want to, okay. So I just, the whole concept of somebody turned this coach in as if it was some sort of, he was, did he hurt somebody? No. But here's where this becomes, I want to make sure that it's very clear. I am all for more godliness in our world. The problem is our world is, like I said, we don't tolerate each other. So you're not Christian. You are one of many other religions. You're Jewish, you're Buddhist, you're whatever it might be, or you're agnostic. whatever it might be, and you think it's not right for your child to sit in a classroom while the teacher conducts a prayer. I went to a Catholic school, so of course the nuns, every morning we stood up, we said a prayer, and we did the Pledge of Allegiance. And that was part and parcel of every single morning. You know who else does that? The United States Congress. Every session. Then they have a minister, priest, rabbi, somebody, an imam, somebody comes out and says a prayer. And we're okay with that. But don't you let God into that school. So I say all of this. However, I can hardly wait for when a Muslim teacher starts praying from the Quran in front of the kids, and one of the kids goes home and says, hey, Dad, yeah, we got a Muslim teacher. He's got the Quran there, and he reads a prayer in the morning, and watch all hell break loose. I mean, this isn't about Christianity. It's about faith and prayers. And that's what the Constitution says. It's not about one religion. You got freedom of religion. So as much as when this case came along, I talked about it a year or so ago when it was first kind of bubbling up. And at the time, and I still feel very much the same way, If the coach wanted to go back someplace so it wasn't highlighted, and just thank God for everybody's safety and whether it won or lost, whatever he prayed about, I pray every day. I pray multiple times a day, but I don't get on here and pray with you. There's a time and a place. So I really thought that this was because he worked for a school and he had a school uniform on and he represented the school. I really believe that the government has no business promoting a religion. I believe in the First Amendment. So I was a little surprised that they ruled this way. I think because if they're saying it's okay for him to pray, then that means the teacher in your kid's algebra class will be doing it as well. Phone number's 855-295-6600.
Thank you. You've been so informative on this issue and also on the financials. You don't get it from any other show.
All right, bow your head, please. All together, let's bow our heads. No, I'm not going to lead a prayer. If you're driving, don't bow your head. Keep your eyes on the road. I thought they would rule and say, I'm sorry, coach, you can't do that in today's world. I'll tell you I think the solution to all this is to have start off the classroom every day with a moment of silence. Got a 1 minute moment of silence. Bow your head and pray to your God, or go over your grocery list or whatever you want to do. But we're all going to be bow our heads and be quiet for it. And then you can say whatever prayer or no prayer, or that way you don't offend anybody. But, let's get some calls in here. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can find that phone number and all the other ways to reach the program by going to my website, which is tomsullivan.com. We'll start with Karen. Hi, Karen. Welcome. Happy Monday to you. What's going on?
Hi, Tom. First time caller.
Hi.
Welcome. You made a comment earlier about praying in the classroom, And I just want to draw a distinction between praying in the classroom versus praying on a field at a football game. Praying on a field in a football game, there's no captive audience. People can walk away. They don't have to participate. Classroom, you're a captive audience. Therefore, in a classroom, it's inappropriate. On the field, no problem. Does that make sense?
Yes. Hold on. This is Jonathan Turley, professor of law, George Washington University. It's about it's almost a 2 minute long cut. It's a long answer, but he addresses in there your comment. Let's play cut 17, Jonathan Turley. Hold on, Karen.
This is a huge win for free exercise and religious freedom. The court does not just side with this coach, but it does some cleanup work with regard to prior doctrines, including something called the Lemon Test. This effectively puts the final nail in the coffin of Lemon. That was a test in determining when you would have violations under these clauses. And what the court says is that there is a better approach and that there's no such thing as what the court calls a modified heckler's veto, that just because some people might be offended by speech like this, that it can be prescribed by the state. The court says that what the coach did in this case was clearly private speech, not subject to this type of regulation. The dissent was equally strong and said that not only did the majority ignore the facts in the record, but it does acknowledge that it effectively killed the Lemon Test, and that it is now, in the dissent's view, showing much greater support for free exercise of religion than the bar on the establishment of religion. The opinion overall will clarify the standard going forward. There was what the dissent wanted was to focus on facts of the case where the district tried to get the teacher to yield and to make accommodations by moving off the field and taking other steps. The court just sort of dismisses those factual assertions and says that this seems pretty clear to them, that this coach was engaged in a private expression of faith and that the district had no right to fire or discipline him for it.
All right. So there's the professor telling us all the ins and outs and the other cases and everything else. By the way, Karen, that Lemon case was a Supreme Court case in 1971. And it was, they said that 8-1, the court ruled Pennsylvania's non-public elementary and secondary education act was unconstitutional, violating the establishment clause. Because what Turley was talking about was, and I played high school football, and man, if I want to be on the good side of my coach and the coach wants to go out and have a prayer circle, I'm going to be there. A lot of pressure on the kids to be, do what the coach, coach will look favorably on you. So I get your point, but there's a lot of pressure on the kids to do this.
Well, I can see that part too, but that was just my comment. And that captive audience in a classroom versus freedom to walk away when you're outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
But thank you for my call, Tom. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you. Great show.
Thanks.
Bye.
You bet. Thank you for calling. All right. We got to take a break right here. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Well, I got a call from somebody said, passed on the information that the person who turned in the coach was a coach from the opposing team. So we were just asking each other about, well, did that mean that the other coach lost and was a sore loser? So I don't like this. So he's getting an advantage by getting God on his side. Oh my God. And then that's the other question. People, you know, pray for their team to win the Super Bowl or whatever. Does God get involved in sporting outcomes? Does he pick the does he say, I really like the Yankees. Is God on it? Is God up for one team versus another? So what was with the coach turning this guy in? Because did he beat him? How good was this team? We got lots of questions. No answers. It's funny. 855-295-6600. Here is the coach, Cut 18, a little bit of his reaction today.
You know, I really don't know what to say. I just can't stop smiling. And, you know, thank God and thank everybody that supported me. And I found out that I'm not insane. It's absolutely true of all the facts of the case. And it just feels good to know that the First Amendment is alive and well.
Yeah. So he was asked the question. So what do you want to get out of this? Do you want to get your job back? And here's his answer.
As soon as the school district says, hey, come back, I am there. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been 7 years, but he wants to go back. Has there been any indication, coach, that they want you back?
I mean, we just found out this morning. So, you know, it's early in Bremerton. So they're all waking up to that news. And I expect some phone calls today from them.
Yeah, well, I think you would have had that discussion before. Now, anyway, 855-295-6600. Kathy in California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
My first reason for calling, the first reason I was going to call is that I'm hearing things like the coach was on his free time. He could have been kneeling in the middle of the field to call for a pizza order. It wasn't like he had a audience in a classroom.
No, everybody knew. Everybody knew. Yeah.
Well,
he's very open about it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's the thought out there. And and then the other thing, I hope that coach, I think he would have a right to his job back because he won the case. And the other thing I laughed about after I called you is that you said your teacher in Catholic school was a regular woman. Don't you know it's he, she, him, her these days? And I'm being facetious.
Well, I know. I didn't know. I was kind of, I mean, I talked for a living. All of a sudden I was stumbling over my, how do I describe my, Mrs. Ramseth was her name. Mrs. Ramseth. So she was like a regular lady from the neighborhood. And all the others, this is when nuns, they wore those, I mean, they had these big hunky hats on, you know, and I have it. I guess I should call it right.
Yeah, I'm Protestant Christian, and I went to Catholic school for a while, but whenever they went places to pray in the church, like you were mentioning, I was excused because I wasn't Catholic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did the others look at you and go, ooh?
No. No,
nobody was shocked.
No? It was elementary school.
Yeah.
No, I just know I was excused from going into the church and participating in their, no offense to anyone, rituals that the Catholic Church has. And I don't remember about praying in the classroom.
I find going, I've been to weddings and things and bar mitzvahs, and I love it, going to a different religion. My favorite was my wife and her brother and her mother and I, four of us, whitest people. My wife and her mother and her brother are blonde. So there's four white people, three of which are blonde. And we went to, who was the lady in Touched by an Angel? She was a minister in a church in South L.A. Della Reese. And so we went to Della Reese's church on New Year's Eve, and we were the only white people in this black church. It was spectacular. It was the black church experience is, oh, my gosh, they get up and shout and pray out loud and sing. And it was like nothing else. So the next day I brought my brother-in-law over to a local Catholic church. And what was interesting about it was It was the exact same message from the very quiet, serious priest. And Della Reese and the other ministers at the black church in South L.A., it was the same message, but one of them was actually much more fun to go to, which was the black church with the gospel singers. And, oh, it was fabulous. So, and I've been to Bar Mitzvah, been to Temple with a lot of friends that have had their kids go through Bar Mitzvahs and stuff. And I find it all fascinating.
It is.
You open up the book of the Bar Mitzvah and it's in Hebrew. I have no idea what I'm looking at. So, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
My agent is a good old fashioned New York Jewish lawyer. And he calls me sometimes and he lays some Yiddish on me. And I tell him, I said, George, Sullivan, how would I know Yiddish? If you want to talk to me in Latin, okay, but I don't know what word. So we would go back and forth on that. So he would do it on purpose just to bother me. Funny guy. Anyway, so yeah, I find that's the other thing about religion in school is I think they're afraid of it. I hope schools do it, but they should have classes about the major religions of the world. And
that would be interesting.
Teach the children what it's about. I got a tweet